Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and we thank you and we praise you and we love you, Lord, and we just offer ourselves to you this morning. We're so grateful and so thankful, Lord, for all that you do for us. And as we get closer and closer, Lord, to Christmas Day and this whole season, it's just been a wonderful season, Lord. It gives us an opportunity to talk to others that may not always give us that opportunity. And so we thank you for that. And we ask that you would help us to look for those chances, look for those opportunities, Lord. Sometimes you just soften people's heart a little bit more during this time and during Christmas. And it's just a chance, or someone will open up a little bit more for us, and we can maybe talk or share a little bit more than what we normally can. But we just thank you for those opportunities. And we lift everyone up to you, Lord, around the holidays that are struggling, because I know that a lot of people have trouble around the holidays. They have people that they have lost. They have family members that aren't around, and it gets a little tougher. And I know that some of the kids at our school, Lord, they don't want to be home right now. They would rather be at school where they know that they're safe and loved. And so we lift all of them up to you. And Lord, this morning I lift John up to you, that's struggling with the side effects of the medication he's taking now, and also just the loss of Tom, Lord, because I know that a lot of people were very touched by him. And We just thank you that he is now with you, and that struggles and problems and things that he has been dealing with have ceased. And we just lift all of the people that are struggling, especially the little grandson, Lord. We just ask that you would help to provide and comfort. We just lift this class up to you today, this time that we spend together, and we thank you. And we ask that you would guide us and direct us. We lift the service up to you today. We lift our candlelight service up to you Tuesday. And just all the things that are going on right now, we just are so grateful and thankful. And we offer this prayer up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We are still on 32, 33, 34, we kind of lumped them all together. We were reading in Ephesians 2, and we were talking last week just about being able to approach God with freedom and confidence, and then we were talking about the question of does sin block us from receiving things from God, and we got on that for quite a bit. So we're going to pick up today at verse 19. In Ephesians 2.
Beginning?
Verse 19.
Oh, 2:19 all the way to what?
I'm just going to do 19 to 21 first.
Okay. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Okay, so that just says we're fellow citizens, members of God's household, built on the very foundation of the apostles and the prophets. I think that's pretty cool, that we're being built on the very foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And, of course, they were built on the foundation of Christ, the cornerstone. The 22 there is where it's talking about the habitation, because number 33 said the Spirit makes us God's habitation. And I just think it's... it's not just a habit. I don't know how I want to say this exactly. It's like Richard's a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And Dorothy's a temple of the Holy Spirit. We're all a temple of the Holy Spirit individually, but where he's also building us together as a building with Christ as a cornerstone. And I used to get confused when I was first studying and trying to learn some of this stuff. I thought, well, why is it talking about a building? Is it really a building, or is it just a metaphor for what's going on and he's building us into something or what? And it was a little confusing for me. And it's the fact that we're being built into a people's. I mean, we're being built into an entire community, and it's like there's a little piece of it everywhere. Everywhere that someone has accepted Christ all over the world is a little piece of that. And
because we are each a piece of Christ's body.
Yes. But at some point when the time is right, it's all coming together. And to me, I'm just thinking, man, that's super amazing that, you know, you've got like, I think of it like this jigsaw puzzle when you've got all these pieces that are everywhere, scattered throughout the entire world, and every person who has a piece of Christ, every person who has the Holy Spirit in them, and it's all going to come together sometime. And what an amazing puzzle that'll be. What an amazing tapestry that would be, with all of the different peoples coming together and being that community. Because it's people, not a place, right?
It's just like you come together at church, and when you're with other Christians here at church, it's different than when you're with a bunch of people that aren't.
Absolutely.
And you recognize other Christians, I think, when you're out. If you spend any time talking to somebody, you know.
Yeah, you know. And that's amazing that God's not just this God. I mean, I know we all know this, but just thinking about it, it's amazing that God is not just this God that had a creation and says, that looks good. I think I did good on that. And then he goes off and does something else. It's like he's part of us all the time, constantly, continuously, and I just find that incredible. To me, that's just incredible. It's wonderful. All right, let's go on with 3. 3:1-6. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So there's the mystery part, number 34. Talks about the mystery of the Father as we come together, both Jews and Gentiles. Is that what the mystery is? I mean, before Christ, it kind of seemed like the Jews sort of had a monopoly on God's grace. Right? It was like you had to be Jewish or you were nothing.
Right.
And no matter how much you tried, you never really were a part of it. You never could really fit in. Even though the temple had a place for the Gentiles, it was very separated from where the Jews could go. So even if you believed in God, if you were a Gentile, you still weren't really a part of it. You were still an outsider. You were someone wishing that you could be in. You were someone who would get close. You were someone that wanted to be, but was never really accepted. And Jesus just changed all of that. I mean, Jesus just changed all of that.
Well, they didn't even talk to Gentiles, did they?
No. Not politely. No. Not kindly. Yeah, I mean, they called them dogs. treated them as though they were worthless and useless and basically were just in the way.
I don't know where it's at, but wasn't it Jesus talking to this lady? She was a Gentile. And
the well.
Yes, the lady at the well. That was awesome. I love that story.
All right, look what Romans says about it. Romans, let's look at Romans 16. Twenty-five through twenty-seven. It says, now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It's after Acts, right? Yeah.
There.
I'm getting there. Go ahead.
16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. So, he's saying this mystery has been hidden for ages past.
Ron, what was that? I was somewhere else. Romans 15?
16.
16, 25, 26, and 27.
I'm sorry, Dorothy. I tried to talk louder, and then I slowed down or mumbled, quiet down.
My fault.
All right. So this is just telling us that the gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ was a mystery. It's been hidden. It's been hidden for all generations. It says the what did it say here? It's been hidden for long ages past, but is now revealed. Yeah. And so that nation is or that mystery is just that Jesus is the Christ. That's the mystery. Jesus is the Christ, God's only Son, the sacrifice for sins. And the Jews didn't know it. I mean, the chosen people of God followed God forever, off and on, and for generations, and they didn't know it. They couldn't see it. It was right in front of their face. They just couldn't see it.
It was hidden all over in the Bible, it was, in the Old Testament.
But it was hidden.
Unless you know and read the Bible and see how the New Testament takes you back to the old, you wouldn't know.
But it's right. The Holy Spirit that reveals that.
Exactly.
Right? So it's like, it's there. It's right in front of their face. It's right in front of our faces today. But unless the Holy Spirit reveals these things, we're still walking around with that veil.
The prophets told them again. Yeah. If they just listened.
Look at what Colossians pretty much says the same thing. Yeah, I get you jumping around here. Colossians 24. Colossians 1. 24 to 28.
Colossians. I don't know where that's at, but
chapter
24 through 28. It says, "I'll wait till we find it."
Did you say Colossians 1?
Colossians 1.
Oh, chapter 1?
Chapter 1, verses 24 through 28. It says, "Now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. And what I like about this is it points out the fact that it says, am I going too fast?
Yes.
I can slow down, because we're going to get to the end of this.
Started first.
24.
24, yeah. Yeah, started 24. Okay.
What I like about this section right here is it says that he's made known the glorious riches, but it says in verse 26, it says the mystery has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. And who are the saints?
Us.
Mm-hmm. We're the saints.
What verse is that?
26.
Yeah.
We're the saints. He's made known this glorious riches, Christ in us, to the saints. And he's opened up the scriptures, and he's opened it up for us to understand and believe.
Now, we're the saints. We're the saints.
So, do you think it's still a mystery today?
No.
Well, there's a lot of years that are closed, imagine. I consider that a mystery.
I think there's some things about Christ that we can't even begin to understand, and we won't until we get to heaven, right?
Yeah.
Well, that, yeah.
So there's a lot of, there's still a mystery. I mean, he's so much more than we can possibly imagine.
Yeah, we can't understand. We can't understand, but I think that this is even still as much of a mystery today, now, to non-believers.
Oh, yeah.
Because until you believe in Christ, you don't get the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit, you can't understand and comprehend it. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do non-believers say about Jesus? What are the non-believers in your life that you know, what do they say about Jesus?
It's funny because my stepdaughter, who was raised Catholic and went to Catholic school and studied religion always, says to me, I pray and I pray and I pray, and my prayers don't get answered, and I don't understand why God lets me go through these things. And I try and explain to her, that's not God. He's not putting you through these things. You know, a lot of them are your choices that you've made, and a lot of them, it's just the world. But she doesn't, they don't understand grace. They can't give grace because they don't understand the grace that we've been given. And they just don't understand. I mean, everybody, I think, starts out with those questions, like, why did Janet Rector die? Why did Tom die? What was the reason for that? Well, there has to be if it was just that God wanted him home, or is it somebody might learn something from watching them go, watching like Janet or somebody. But unless you're a Christian, you don't. And even for a Christian, those are hard questions.
Yeah, because we don't have answers to those questions, no. But we have the faith and the comfort of knowing that if they were a believer, that they are with Christ.
Yep.
And so we can it helps us get through that loss and that grieving, knowing that. And if we didn't know those things, I think every loss would be devastating.
Yeah. And every hard time that you go through would be devastating. But you just know that he has a plan.
Yes, he does.
But right at the time, a lot of times we as Christians say, why?
Why?
Well, sure.
Why? Yeah. Why, God?
Yeah. Yeah. We do say why. And sometimes we get angry.
We don't say it out loud. If we don't even say it out loud, we think it.
Well, and sometimes we get angry at him. You ever got mad at him? I've been mad at him before.
Yeah.
And I don't have a right to, but there's been times that I'm just like, no, that's just not right. There's no answer that doesn't make any sense why, and you get a little angry, but he's God. We're not. But there are people that just go, well, Jesus is a fantasy, Jesus is a fairy tale, or there's all these different versions of Jesus. You know, there's people that talk about white Jesus and black Jesus, and there's people that have all of these different ideas about Jesus, and a lot of different organizations take Jesus and make him into what they want him to be instead of looking here to find out who he really was. And it's really kind of scary because there's so many different versions of Jesus that's being talked about and that's being taught out there these days, mm-hmm. that people are very easily confused and getting the wrong messages. And it's hard. There's people that will preach religion that don't have faith.
Yeah.
And if you don't have faith, you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have that revelation. You don't understand it completely. And we don't understand all of this completely anyhow. But yeah, it's a relationship, and you have to have that. You have to have that inside of you, or you don't really get it. And even those of us that have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we still struggle to understand. But the Holy Spirit slowly teaches and reveals and pulls us into where He wants us to be. But I hear so many people talking about Jesus that have no idea what it is that they're talking about. And they make up stories and say, well, Jesus says this or this. And it's like, really? Show me where He said that, you know? And it just gets twisted a lot.
Well, they pull one thing out of the Bible.
Yeah.
And everything revolves around that.
Oh, sometimes Christians, well, many Christians, if they've received something as a gift and you don't have it, they think you're lacking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it was a long time after I saved before I ever spoke in tongues. I was a Christian. I know I was born again, and I know God was showing me, you know, to witness, and of course I was a Sunday school teacher at that time of kids, and I saw many kids get their hearts to the Lord. So we get hung up on things sometimes.
Yep.
That's what my little sidebar talks about, all of the different philosophies and religions and all the telltale things that people have to walk through and do.
Well, actually, that's why we have all different churches, all different
exactly.
denominations.
Okay. Yeah. Even clear back in Paul's day, they did all that too.
And I've heard some people that's been raised in church didn't seem to have a real 360 turnaround when they got saved. But I wasn't in church, so.
Right.
So it's just like
I had
John.
To turn around.
Yeah, it's just like John.
What?
It's just like when John accepted Christ. I mean, look at the change.
Yeah.
That's a profound change.
Yep.
You don't feel good, do you, buddy?
No. I just want to go home a little bit.
But to say that I haven't had time to sort of up here and down here as a Christian would be a lie.
Right.
Things do happen. Like I'd be up here on the Lord, but I've had times that
yes.
I was down here slowly crawling back up.
But he doesn't lose sight of that. He doesn't lose sight of that. That's the whole prodigal son story too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the prodigal son knew what he was doing. The prodigal son went out and just lived the life the way he wanted to live and had fun and partied and everything else. And he knew that what he was doing wasn't right. He wanted to do it anyhow. But the father didn't turn him away.
But his brother did.
His brother did, but... And you know what? That's what happens with us. Our brothers and sisters will turn us away, but God doesn't. God's faithful and just, and if we repent and turn back to Him, He's there.
Well, sometimes it's hard when they do it over and over and over.
Yeah.
Yes.
Really is.
Yeah.
You also go through times where you don't feel the closeness of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like... You'll have days where you just know that the Lord's talking to you.
Yes.
And you'll have your days and it's like, I'm listening, but I'm not hearing you.
Yeah, and I have to remind myself that a week or a month or even a year is not a long time.
And I even
it's not a long time for Him.
I asked myself, did I do something that you're not showing me something here?
Yeah. Yeah, it says a day is like, or a thousand years is like a day, and a day is like a thousand years.
That confuses me still.
Well, people take that, and sometimes they'll try to work that into a formula for when He's coming back and all that, but, you know, it could be part of that, and it might not be. I don't know. The point that they're trying to make there is that it's, His time is not the same as our time.
Yeah.
And if He makes us wait for something for a year, 5 years, 10 years, we make it like it's forever, and it's really not. But we're all very impatient people because we're born into an impatient world and we live impatient lives and we try to speed everything up so we can save time.
don't pray for Him to give you patience.
Oh, my, no.
Because
He says, sure.
I'll give you patience.
Hold on.
Just wait a second. You're going to wait.
Just wait a second.
Trouble.
Oh, just wait one more second.
Yeah. Same thing with humility.
Not ready yet. Just one more second.
Yeah.
So, there's all the people out here that are non-believers that have some distorted image of Christ or have no image of Christ, which still blows me away that there are people that have no image of Christ today, but it's true. And there's people that make fun of and mock and rebuke and twist and distort and just do all kinds of stuff with the Bible and with faith and about God. And I hear people that mock God so much anymore.
How scary that is.
It's like, I sound like an old man when I say these things, but when I was a kid, I didn't really hear people mock God.
You know, it's funny because I turned a program on the other day. And I think it was a Saturday Night Live Christmas thing. And I just wanted to see the old people that used to be on it.
Yeah.
I was on there for about 2 minutes and I was horrified because that's exactly what they were doing.
Mocking.
Yes, they were mocking it. And I thought, oh man, you guys are in trouble.
I just don't remember that. Maybe it was, you know, maybe it's just that I don't remember it, or I just wasn't around it or something, but
it really
seemed like even if they didn't believe in God, there was still
a reverence or a fear
or something, you know. It was kind of like, you know, I heard people use his name in vain, of course, but there wasn't a lot of mocking and belittling.
No.
And today I see that a lot. I see that all over the place where God's being mocked and God's being belittled and being compared to ridiculous things. And it is.
Yeah.
Just like what?
They had idols a long time ago. I mean, they took idols that they placed above God or equal to God. You know, the old idols. And that's what they're doing today. I mean, they're making God us. And God is not us.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus is coming back for his bride.
Yep.
And I want to be in the 144,000.
The 144,000?
Yes.
Are you Jewish?
Yeah, you can't be in
the 144,000 are Jews.
You can be in the 144,000. I just read it this morning.
What did you read, sir? Because my understanding of the 144,000 is 144,000 are 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel.
You can't be in part of the 144,000?
No.
That's not
those
the bride.
Those
are
Jews.
Where does it say that?
The bride is the church.
It doesn't say you can't be, but it says
the right. My point exactly. Thank you. No, stop right there. Okay,
it doesn't say, John, you can't be, but if you're not Jewish, I don't know how you can be, because the 144,000 are
the believers of Jesus,
supposed to be 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes.
I know.
And they are the chosen Jews. The bride of Christ is not the 144,000.
Yeah,
the bride of Christ is the church.
Right, the bride is the church.
Yes. And I think this
you can't be part of the 144,000.
I don't think you can be part of the 144,000 unless you're Jewish.
I think
what the 144,000 are going to be, or those are going to be the Jews that are going to reveal completely Christ to all the Jewish people that are left.
Yes.
That have not accepted Christ during the tribulation.
Yeah.
I hope you're gone before that, my friend. I hope you're taken out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you find somewhere in there that I'm wrong.
It's Seventh-day Adventist people, and they've already been chosen.
Yes.
Because my son-in-law believes that he's not, you know, that 144,000 is set aside already.
Yes.
And they're Mormons.
And that's it. And that's all. They're all.
That's all.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the point? Why are you even trying to?
I was talking about. I'm gonna go to Romans 10. I was talking.
Been there yet?
No. I'm gonna go to Romans 10, 14 and 15, because we were talking about the people that are out there that don't understand it has the mystery of Jesus Christ being the only answer has not been yet revealed to them. There's tons of people out there that don't know because it has not been revealed to them. And this is a verse that everybody's heard before.
Which verse?
14 and 15.
Okay.
14 to 15. Actually, you know, that whole section right there is one that is used a lot. But 14 and 15 says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And that was all of us at one time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was all of us. Somebody had to tell us. Somebody had to preach to us. Somebody had to share that with us. And that needs to be us today, right? That needs to be us every day. We need to be those believers that are out there that are telling people about this amazing mystery. Because to them, it's still a mystery.
It's a mystery. They don't want to believe it.
It's still a mystery. They don't get it. They don't understand it. You know? And I remember being that way. I remember people saying things to me, and I'm just like, I don't want to hear that stuff. Right? I don't want to. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but don't be trying to push your religion on me. I don't want to hear it.
That's what they always say.
I remember being that person. And then Christ got inside of me, and I just went, oh, wait a minute. This is real? I mean, this is real? And it just changes everything. And we've got to be the ones out there telling them and telling them and telling because
living is the biggest thing.
It is.
How people live.
It is. You've got to live it and tell it. But if you just live it and don't tell it, then they don't know.
They
don't know. They
think you're a great person.
They don't know it. I mean, we got to... I said we need to tell them, then introduce them, then demonstrate it to them until they start to want to believe it themselves. And then they begin to have the hope.
Yeah.
And you know, that's... And sometimes we do that, and we do a wonderful job of it, and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we get busy, or we get lazy, or we get tired, or we get sick, or whatever the case is, and we just kind of slack off, and we don't get out there and shake it up. And that's what we need to do. We need to get out there and shake it up. Get out there and tell people.
And sometimes you tell people your testimony, and they still look at you like you're crazy.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And I say to myself, well, let me tell you something. When I first came here and Pastor Steve handed me that mic and asked me to share my testimony in front of a church of people I don't even know, and the first thing I talked about was being attacked by demons, and I got these looks on these people's faces
sure.
that thought I was a joke and that what I was saying was false, and some of those people don't even speak to me till this day, but I do know one thing. I was the one that went through it. I was the one that screamed and yelled and cried and went through the physical torment.
Yep.
And still have marks and proof on my body from being shocked and burned and poked and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, no one can take that away from me. You can tell people that story right to their face.
Yes.
As God is my judge. And they will look at you and go, you're out of your mind, man.
Yes.
You must have been on some good dope.
Because they didn't experience it.
Yep. So sometimes it's going to take an act of God or an experience like that for someone to go through to get the point that this is not a joke. This is, well, I have no motive, no motive for lying, no reason to lie about any of it. It's all true, what happened to me. You
right.
know what I mean? And you could sit and tell a person right to their face, and they'll look at you like, you know what?
And they still don't believe
it. I don't believe a word you're saying.
I know.
There are no such things as demons.
And
there is no such thing. It just makes me laugh.
Here's something that I hope is encouraging. When we share our testimony, it opens up a door because we're personal. We're being personal and we're sharing it, and it's our experience. So people can't say, oh, well, that's not true and you're not, you know, that's not real. Because it is real. They don't
have
to believe
it.
They don't have to believe it, but it's real.
That's right.
But they may or may not believe it. But what I love about Scripture is Scripture says that the Word of God will not return void.
Right.
So So we may be sharing our testimony and our experiences, and that may come back void. But if we're sharing what Scripture says, not just what we went through or what we think or what we believe, but if we're sharing direct truth from the Scripture, it will not return void, which means it'll do something. It has power behind it, and it'll do something.
How can you be a Christian and believe in Jesus and know what he did in the Bible and not believe there are demons? Tell me how one does it. It's right in here.
I don't know.
I know.
Because some people think, oh, well, that was way back then and that don't happen anymore. And those are the people that are confused and
well, then you tell me why I still see him. You tell me why I see him still. That's okay. You know, you tell a person that and they look at you like you're crazy.
Because they
and they walk away from you.
Because they haven't experienced it. That's exactly what it is. Once you've experienced it, I have kids at school and I keep going to kids at school all the time, but you know, I spend a lot of time with kids at school, and that's you're right, that's our ministry. But I have kids at school that tell me things, and they say, I see things, or... I'm sorry, Dorothy. I have kids at school that will tell me, I see things, or I think there's someone else inside of me sometimes, and I don't tell people that because they tell me I'm crazy, and they want to put me on medication. Or, you know, they say, well, you know... People make fun of me because I hear these voices and I hear different stuff and I see things sometimes. And you know what? I take those kids serious when they tell me that.
You have to. Yeah.
And I will take those kids serious and I will take them in the other room and I will pray with them. And we have casted out demons and we have Amen. Done different things right there in school because... I believe those kids when they tell me that. Mm-hmm. I know that stuff's real. But if they tell their parents go,
they look at them,
there's something wrong. Are you doing drugs?
What are you doing? Yeah.
Are you doing drugs?
Yeah.
And so they want to take him and get him drug tested. Or they want to take him to the psychiatrist. And you know what? That's cool. There's a place in this world for psychiatrists and psychologists and medication and everything else. But I don't ever say to those kids, yeah, maybe you need to talk to a psychologist because you might need some medicine. There'll be enough people out there that will be telling them that. What I say is, look, I believe in demons. 100%. I'm not saying that's what's going on with you. There are other mental things that go on that make people see things and hear things.
Millions of Christians have them and don't even know that they have them.
But I address it. And I say, can we pray?
Yeah.
And during that prayer, there are times that I feel it very strong. And I know.
When you say hearing voices, are they hearing out loud voices?
Audible, you mean? Hearing
or
it? Or hearing it in their head?
It's both. It's a lot of different stuff. I mean, there's a lot of kids that have stuff like that going on in their lives that are at our school. But there are people sometimes they will say, I hear this voice. It's in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. It's not my thoughts. It's not me. And it's like another person inside my head.
Oh, I never heard that.
And I've had... People say, well, I see things at night sometimes when I'm laying in bed and I'm still awake and I've seen a person or I've seen a figure or I've seen whatever. I've had kids that have actually named them
mm-hmm.
and have named them and have conversations. I know for a fact a couple of it has been demons, but I don't think all of it is all the time, no. Some of it is just kids that are confused or kids that are on some medications that maybe they shouldn't be. But I've prayed with kids before, and the presence is so strong,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, the presence is strong.
You can feel it.
Sometimes I can feel it. Yeah. Sometimes you can smell it.
You can smell the sulfur.
Sometimes you can feel it.
You ever smell the burnt sulfur? The smell
it's,
from hell?
It's
yeah. When I had them, in my whole, I stunk like burnt sulfur. That's what the smell is from hell. That burnt smell from hell. It was on me all the time. And I could smell it on other people. It's serious stuff, man. And they bring about that stench with them when they come.
And
I had it for 7, 8 weeks.
It.
8 weeks. Oh, yeah.
There's a girl right now that I know, and she's in my class, and I know that that's what's going on with her. And we have prayed. We've prayed about it, and she feels a lot better, makes it through the day. But when she's feeling good and not struggling, then she doesn't want to come back to the prayer. She only wants to do it when she can't handle it anymore. So she knows that that's the answer, but it scares her. And so she's kind of in that place, teetering. But it's okay, because I still got another half a year.
Yeah. Well,
right?
If I started seeing things when I was awake, I'll be a little scared. I'll be concerned with that.
These kids are scared to death, and when they tell people, they tell them they're crazy.
Yeah.
That's sad.
And I'm telling you that maybe there are some kids that is the case, that they have a mental disability or something wrong.
But not this girl.
But
this
not
girl
every
really
time.
Does have demons.
Not every time. Sometimes when they say to me that they just kind of hear some voices and stuff, I know there are diagnoses that people hear voices. I know there are medications that people take that will cause that. But, you know, when I pray with them, sometimes it's just reassuring and calming.
Yeah.
You know, it's just reassuring and calming because they've really got issues. Sometimes when I pray with them, I know that there's something else going on there. And I just address it. And to this day, I've not had any parents come back to me and say, "Don't you pray with my kid anymore." Hmm. So that's a blessing.
Yes, sure.
But
parents send those kids to your school stuff, don't they? I mean, they realize that you are praying, don't they? At times? Or
if the kids say something.
I mean, there's parents that I have communication with. There's parents that I have communication with that know that I'm a Christian and they know that I pray with kids and, you know, I tell them.
Yeah.
There's parents that I don't have hardly any communication with because you can't get them on the phone. They won't respond. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to be a part of anything.
They're in Denial, Ohio.
Exactly.
Denial, Ohio. See that commercial?
Yeah.
Denial, Ohio. My son tells me everything.
Yeah, right. All
right, yeah, we're out of time.
Sure.
We didn't get very far, guys.
Never do.
Good conversation.
We need a 2-hour Bible study.
No.
I have enough trouble getting out of the house. I can't come early.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go to prayer. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're here with us, that you guide our conversations. And sometimes we go off on tangents, Lord, but I think it's because you want us to, or at least you keep us in your word, and as we share and we get to know each other better and understand or encourage each other or whatever you use this time for, Lord, it's your time. And we just set this time aside and we thank you that you're here with us and that you guide us. And Lord, we just lift the service up to you today. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be strong and powerful and just blowing through this place, Lord, that everyone here will be able to experience just an extra burst, Lord, an extra dose, however to say it, Lord, of you and your Holy Spirit. Help just to open up our hearts and our minds. And Lord, we just lift everything up to you in this church. We lift up this whole place and all of the people that's here, Lord. And we're not the building, we're the people. and we need to take care of the building, and we have to throw money at the building, and we have to do these things to take care of it so that we can have a warm place to come and worship you. But it's about worshiping you first and loving each other and taking care of each other and then going out into the world. So we lift all of that up to you, and we just pray that you would use us in some wonderful way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.